1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we like to be at this evening. We will move a couple of other little places, but we will predominantly be in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this evening. As you turn there, I just want to give this by way of introduction as we get ready for this evening's message here. The title is United, Not Divided. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, since the beginning of time, division seemed to try and take hold of people. That shouldn't be a shock to anybody, how a lot of people just have this division, they have this set where they want to try to cause problems amongst people. So how do they do that? There are divisions for right and wrong. Obviously, there's people who know what to do, what's right, and people who do things just to do wrong. I mean, those are the obvious things. But lately, even more so in our society today and in other things, we tend to cause division, whether because of your beliefs, what you believe in, your morals, a little bit on even if you are affiliated with a political party, whatever that case is. And there seems to be more ways in which people are trying to divide today. What hurts more than that is there's division that can creep up in the church or amongst its members, especially when it's not biblically based. Hopefully, you in your lifetime will never have to be a part of a church split. Thankfully, I've never had to be a part of that. But those things hurt. And I've heard of stories of which churches have split, have been destroyed because of division within the church. Church's anchor should be on Jesus Christ. But instead, people try to make it all about themselves, and that's it. Tonight, I encourage you in this time, in this day and age, to be united, not divided. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's just look at verse number 12 here for now. We're going to look at 12 to 30, and then a couple other passages here. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12 says this, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." I submit to you this evening that divisions cause friction and allow the devil to destroy us. Satan wants division. Satan wants people to be divided amongst each other and even amongst us in as Christians today. But how do we stay united, not divided? Let's pray. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for Dave given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have, that we can come to you and be your and to be the Heavenly Father for us. And I pray, Father, tonight, as we look into your word, and you'd help us to grow thereby. You'd help us to understand just the things that are here. Help me as I preach that it would be clear, that it would be plain, it'd be easy to understand. And Father, help us to set aside anything that might distract us, and that we can focus here on your word these next few minutes. If there's someone in this room tonight who's never asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior, or those online who've never known, that today would be the time that they would trust. Father, for those who do know you, help us to take heed to the word this evening, that we can be united and not divided. We ask these things here in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, there are things that will come up that will cause division. Now, you have the easiest thing. What's, for those who are invested in sports, what team you choose to cheer for? You may like the Dolphins. You may like the Buccaneers. You may like the Packers. You may like the Yankees. You may like the Mets. And, oh, I don't like them. I like their rival. Okay, cool. But it shouldn't cause you all to not have a friendship just because you like different teams. But sometimes in churches and sometimes in this world today, everybody wants to do something that maybe God has not called them to do. What do I mean by that? Every one of us in here have a certain gift that God has given to us and that we ought to fulfill, that we ought to do. Not every one of us in here is called to be a pastor. Not every one of us have been given the ability to play music. But everybody has a role, and a function within the church and ought to be able to perform that to the best of their abilities. I mentioned this morning, I'm not much of a handyman. You think you're a guy, you're not? No, I'm not. I mean, I know little things. I know how to cook grilled chicken. And that's it. Well, a couple other little things, but I can't make steaks and stuff like that. I can do grilled cheese very well. And you're thinking, no wonder why you look like you do. Yeah, I know. But the point is this, is that there are things that we cannot do because God hasn't given us that ability to do so. But there are things that you can do that I cannot do. And what is that? Well, that's between you and the Lord, and it talks a little bit about that in the beginning of the chapter about spiritual gifts and stuff like that. But here, and in this church in particular, Corinthians, the church at Corinth, they've had a lot of issues. I don't know if you read through the book of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, but they had a lot of problems. A lot. And one of them was this idea of division. So first of all, we're going to look at the many members here in verses 12 to 24. But I submit that we should be operating as a united front. Verse number 12 again. For as the body is one, the church, the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. To do a church service here, it doesn't take just one person. It doesn't, no. It takes quite a bit of people to do that. The people who clean, the people who sanitize, especially in our pandemic era. You've got the people who plan the music, who put the PowerPoints together, who play the music, who lead the music. People to do your children's ministries and your bus routes whenever we can get back to that. There's a lot of different people that are placed in a whole bunch of different roles in order for everything to come together. It's not just one person to do it all. If it was one person to do it all, that person would probably not last more than a year in ministry because you would be completely burned out. So each of us has a different role and function within the church. Now, some may have more of a leadership position than others, but it doesn't mean that your role in the church is not diminished because of that. You may not be the deacon. You may not be the assistant pastor. You may not be the administrative assistant, whatever the title might be. You may not be the children's Sunday school teacher, but every one of you in this room has an important part to play in this ministry, in this role. And that's what it's trying to tell us here. Verse 12, 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We're all placed into one body. What's that Spirit? The Holy Spirit. We're all connected through the fact that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Holy Spirit comes upon us and causes us to be a part of this one body, the Christian body. Remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, things were going great for them. And you know the story in Genesis chapter 3. Things were going smooth. They only had one law that they had to really keep. And that was, don't touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because if they were to do that, in that day, they would die. One rule. Don't you wish you only had one rule today? Right now, we're under a few different ones. One of them is what most of us are wearing right now. I mean, we have to follow certain things and guidelines that we may like or not necessarily like. It'd be nice if we could go back to just one simple rule. But Adam and Eve, they had the perfect life. Literally, the perfect life. And then he came in. The serpent, the devil. And he comes in and says, "Yea, hath God said?" And he talks all these things. And Eve starts to think about it. And, oh, you're not going to die. God just doesn't want you to be like him. And so they ate. Did they become God? No, they became the complete opposite of God. They became sinners who needed to be saved by grace. She was made to believe she was missing out, causing division between God and his creation. And did the devil succeed in that? Absolutely. That's why sin came into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Division has been going on since the beginning of time. And we mention here in verse 13, for by one Spirit are all baptized into one body. Now, you're thinking to yourself, why are there so many different denominations? Why are there so many different beliefs and doctrines? Why can't all Christians interpret the Bible the same way? I wonder the same question all the time. Life would be much easier if that was the case. But why is that? Division. Satan tries to find his way into some churches, into some places, and tries to cause friction and discord amongst his people. Because if that person isn't saved, guess what he's going to try to do? Keep them away. Because he knows he's fighting a losing battle. So what's he going to try to do? He's going to try to salvage as much as he can to come toward him. Now, I'm not saying that all denominations are demonic and satanic, but what I'm saying is if they don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, are they united in the front that God wants us to do, which is to reach the gospel to everybody? Consider that. Satan knows scripture. How do you say that? Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4. He talks scripture, but he twists it. Uses Psalm 91, verses 11, 12. Takes out one key word, but it makes it look like he knows what he's talking about in the Bible. Did you know that more people convert to Christianity than breaking and going to a denomination? You hear more stories about people saying, oh, I used to be this denomination, this background, this, that, and then I heard the truth and I came to trust Christ and I converted. Not many times you hear, oh, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Christian, I go to this. No, normally it's the other way around. Why? Because the truth shall set you free. That's what the Bible tells us. We ought to be like Christ. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought not robbery to be equal with God. And then the passage continues on. The Holy Spirit identifies us as God. Let's continue on verse 13. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Guess what? If you're saved, God has all of you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter your nationality. Doesn't matter your skin color. Doesn't matter your gender. You're all in the same Spirit. The same Holy Spirit saves all. Who's all? All. Anybody? It's inclusive. Yet people want to try to divide that out. Oh, God hates this. God hates that. God hates sin. He loves the sinner. He hates the sin. So, verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. It takes a lot of people to have a church. Well, you say in Matthew 18, where two or three are gathered together in my name, they're mine in midst. Yeah. But look at who we have tonight, those watching video. Maybe those who want to come tonight, but they can't due to health or other reasons. There's more people in the church. But you know what? Even though we have this piece of the puzzle together, even though there's many people that make the church, divisions can occur, verses 15 and 19. Verse 15 says this, for if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, am I not the body? Is it therefore not the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God set the members, every one of them, in the body. Notice the last phrase here, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? Your body needs certain things to function and move. Your feet, what do? They help you move. They help you walk, run, kick, balance. Your hand helps you to lift, grab, touch, feel, eat. Your ears help you to hear and help you stay balanced. Your arm reaches and bends, etc. Your eyes to see, to react, to cover, to warn. Senses would have issues without certain body parts. Now, do people go blind? Yes. Do people lose a limb? Yes. That means the other spots get a little more strengthened up and can still do things, maybe not as complete. But what's the point? Your body needs every single piece that's on there, all 206 bones that are in your body, to help you function to the best of your ability. The church needs all of its members to function together. That's what the Bible's trying to tell us. You can't have one thing say, oh, you know what? I'm a hand. I don't want to just write anymore. I want to walk. Now, can people walk on their hands? Sure. But for how long? You could probably do a few. I've tried to do handstands and try to walk on my hands. I get about 5 steps with my hands and then I'll go back down again. Why? Because that's not what my hands were created to do. My feet. I've never tried to write with my feet. I don't ever plan on to neither. Okay. But the thing is this, every part of your body has a different function. I haven't tried to see out of my right ear yet. Okay? I know I'm being ridiculous with this in a sense. But the thing is this, every part of your body has a different function that requires it. My ear's not going to say, hey, I'm going to talk. No, that's what your mouth's function is to do. So, but here is the problem that things have to do. We have to work together in our various roles. But abandonment is not a great idea. Verses 20 to 24. But now are they many members, yet one body, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. I mean, if you don't have your head, you think you're going to live? I mean, you're thinking, you're being dumb. No, I'm being obvious. There are certain things that you cannot live without. Think of your heart. Such a small organ in your body. But what happens if your heart breaks or your heart has an issue? What happens? The rest of the body shuts down, eventually passes away. What happens if your brain stops working? A lot of things that you do are not signaled anymore. Even though there are things in the body that have a small part, they have a lot of big things they can accomplish. You might be sitting in your row, you might be viewing by video, and you think, what's my role in the church? I just sit down, I hear the message. Well, maybe your role is at this point, hear what God has for you, and then take it out to somebody else that you're going to see that I'm not going to see. That could be your role. Or maybe your role is, hey, I should be kind to this person and show them Jesus Christ because of the testimony that I have for him. You don't have to be in a position of leadership where you can just come up and preach and teach. And trust me, it takes a while to put these things together. About 2-3 hours per sermon. All right? So, there are many different things that you and I can do. But the thing that we cannot do is be divided. We can't have jealousy over the different things that we cannot control. Delegation is a great thing, though. So, verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, your pinky toe. What in the world does your pinky toe have to do with the rest of your body? Now, I haven't researched this out, but I'm pretty certain it has a pretty significant part in your body. Your pinky finger, you're thinking that's one of the smallest parts in your body. What can that do? Well, I'm left-handed. If I try to write without my pinky finger, it's going to be a little harder. What does my pinky do? It helps me to be able to keep my pen going. It helps me be able to grab something and have that final grip in case if it loses something. Now, granted, like I said, can body parts be amputated? Sure. It's going to happen. It sometimes happens. But every part of your body has a function. Your nice little windpipe right here, your thing over, whatever we call that nowadays, I can't remember the term right now, but that has an important role too. If you can't breathe through there, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to be moving around much longer. You'll be turning blue and we're going to call 911. Everything has a certain function. Verse 23 again, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. More abundant honor. It tends to cover more. It's this idea here in verse number 24 that it's well-formed, it's noble, more abundant. And our comely parts have abundant comeliness. There are certain parts of our body that help us go into church. There's certain things that we can do. Something as simple as sanitizing the pews. That has an important role in the church. You think, oh, it's just regular cleaning. No. Having a clean building is better than having a dirty building, wouldn't you agree? Having a dust-free building is better than having dust and sneezing all the time. You're thinking, that's insignificant. No, it can be. Allergies. Every part that people do in this church ministry to help this ministry go is important. Whether it be cutting down trees, mowing the lawn, fixing a toilet, resurfacing a blacktop, putting in swing sets, putting in a chain for the swings so that way the kids can enjoy it and have fun and be able to want to come back to church because they're having fun at church and they're hearing the word of God. Something even that small is just a simple chain fix can go a long way. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. God has made our body come together to be a snug fit, physically speaking and spiritually speaking. We all have a part in this together. Paul is explaining here that we should not look separate, but we should all work together. But why does he mention that? Why does he mention all these things and all these body parts to be one and all that? Well, secondly, division ruins everything. Verse 25 to 30. Verse 25 says this, that there should be no schism in the body. There should be no division. Schism has this idea to split or gap or divide. Paul references no divisions when they come to the Lord's table. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 18 says, first of all, when we come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. They couldn't have division in the church before they took the Lord's table. And that's a high honor. It's one of the ordinances of the church, Lord's Supper and baptism. They couldn't have division before that. Because what does the Lord's table signify? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, the hope that we have in him. So they couldn't have division before that. Our society today tries to make people worthless based upon who they are or who they believe in. If you're not with them, you're the enemy. If you follow that group, you're the enemy. You listen to that, you're the enemy. And the world wants to create division. Satan loves division. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians. And we're going to come back. Move over to Galatians chapter 6. There should be no division. How so? Well, when someone has a burden, when someone has a thing going on, we ought to be there for them. Galatians chapter 6, in verse number 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, talking to Christians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. When we do something wrong, we ought to reach out toward that person. We ought to try to help them out. Why? So we have no division. Ye which are spiritual, help of a Christian. Try to cause division. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them which hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It happens. There are going to be people who are not going to like you just because of what you believe in. But you know what? You need to care for that person anyway. Why? That's what your Bible says. Why? Well, Jesus answers that question, verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to shine, rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, the same publicans were, this is not Republican, publicans have is a tax collector, but this was a Jewish man who basically ripped off his own people to get extra money because he knew he had the Roman soldiers behind him to make sure that the people paid up. Republicans were the worst people in society in this time frame. They do the same thing. But Jesus is saying, go above that. Go beyond that. Love your enemies. Love that publican. The guy who ripped me off. Yeah. Why? Verse 47. But if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Here's the reason why you love your enemies. Verse 48. Be ye therefore perfect, complete, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. If God cares for every person, shouldn't we? It's what the Bible's telling us. We ought to be united, not divided. Is there division going on today in this world? Absolutely. I'm not blind to that fact. Is it in a lot of it's based on what people believe in their political parties and stuff like that, and how people view certain issues? I'm not blind to that at all. But what's the Christian's response to it? Be faithful. Be unified with the brethren. Love your enemies and pray for them. That's the Christian's response to the division. But these people are trying to ruin us and trying to shut down our churches. Pray for them. Maybe they don't see the light yet, but you can still pray for them. We should, as the body of Christ, be united, not divided. Our world has enough division going on today. Speak up for what is right and don't feel ashamed of the gospel. You know what's right, speak up for it. Don't hide. You might get persecuted. But you know what? Jesus got persecuted too. You know what's right. You know you believe it. You know it's scripturally based. Speak up for it. Speak out for that. Sin causes hate and friction, but love can bring all things together. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, and now these three, faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity, is love. How do we be united? Caring for one another, lifting up people when they're discouraged, when they're down, and loving our enemies. We cannot be divided. There's a lot of division going on today. And the only way to counter that is to pray, is to be united ourselves. And once the body of Christ is united, we can make a change. But we got to believe it and we got to do it. Father, we come to you in prayer. We thank you for the day you've given to us. We thank you for the opportunity that we have just to be here together. We thank you for the Word of God that's so free to us, that's powerful for us, and that there might be things that we may not agree with in a sense, but we know it's the right thing to do because it's what your Word says. Father, I pray that you would help us to be united, that we can surrender all to you, that we can do the things that you would have for us to do. Those viewing online, what's your response today to be united and not divided? Those in the auditorium, what's your response today? Are you united in the same goal, or are we trying to do things our own way? Father, I pray you just bless and move this time. Help us to examine ourselves. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to do the invitation just a little differently. I'm going to let you remain in your chair, your pew. But what I want for the invitation is this, is I want us to genuinely pray for our nation. Every one of us in here, as the music plays, I surrender all. But more importantly, even more so than that, pray for each other. Pray for the needs that each other goes through. And just in this calmness of the piano, I want you to think about it. And I want you to act upon what God has told you through the message this evening, even this morning, maybe something that hasn't been spoken. But for these next few minutes, I just want you to pray in your row there. maybe there's something in your life that you need to fix. I encourage you to do that at this point. Mm-hmm.